Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, I'm John Ramos. Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited for what we have in store for you today. We're just thrilled about what God is doing, and I'm totally excited. Here to encourage you today in the studio is Pat Hamilton, the producer.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Thank you with the good day, Steve. My goodness, so much has been happening. We want to encourage you, of course, to continue to visit us at VFNTV.com, get all the latest updates. There's so many different ways to connect with us. I mean, we have the podcast. We have, of course, apps for all platforms. And, of course, we have the Torch with over 3,000 highlights that go so much deeper. So take a spin. Go VFNTV.com and enjoy, explore, and, of course, share with your friend. Of course, we want to welcome our Christian television audience, network audience, and all those that are listening to us all around the world. It's encouraging to hear from the Middle East. It's encouraging to hear from South America. We are stirring up folks out here in Colombia. And so it's just
beautiful.
Amazing. It's just amazing to be a part. We're going to be talking today about some of the things that are happening in God's news, kind of behind the news, a kind of biblical perspective as to what's happening around the world. And we've been talking about the persecution that is coming upon the church and upon the Jews. And, you know, this what's one of the signs of the end of the age is that you will be persecuted in his name. And we must understand that if they treated Jesus this way, the student is not above the master.
That's right.
And so, we can't be trying to avoid it. We're certainly not looking for it. But, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. The question is, will you be able to stand in it? And that's what we're praying for, that you'll be able to stand, that you'll be able to have roots that go down deep so that you can have fruit up. And that's what we talk about abiding. That's why we talk about knowing the Lord. If you missed yesterday's program, we talked about the destiny of the sons and daughters of God. And that's to know him and to make him known. Well, let me tell you, when you face persecution, you better know him.
Right.
you better know him. And, and that's what's gonna, that's, you know, you're going to find out. I believe a lot of the folks that falling away is going to happen are those that hung around the cross but didn't get it on the cross. There were those that were affiliated and knew of God and you know, grew up, let's say, in what one would say was the church, but they didn't walk with God. God wasn't in them. They weren't in God. They weren't united with him. And so we want to encourage you, get united with God. You know, walk closely with him. And if you need a simple plan, of course, go to iabide.org. And we put a plan together for you. Free doesn't cost you a thing, but it's a way that you can meet with God daily, hear his voice, and write down, you know, what God is saying. I mean, children are doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing some of the profound things that God is sharing with them. But we're going to be talking about today, getting to our Ian list, what is happening in Kenya. In Kenya, Christians were being shot just, I mean, by radical Islamic terrorists just because they were Christians. And we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk today also in this program about what's happening in Brazil. Operation Blessing has put a documentary together because, of course, we are in the season of the World Cup. It's attracting, I believe, close to 500,000 people have come to the nation of Brazil for these games.
Wow.
But also that there is a huge human trafficking issue that's occurring there and really around the world. We're going to talk about what's happening and this documentary that's put shedding light on, hey, there's a problem here in Brazil, and we need to fix it. We're also going to be sharing about what's happening here in the United States. We hear more about Holly and how she was just trafficked right here in the United States of America. And we're going to just find out what we can do because that's what we want to do. We want to stand in the gap for those that can't help themselves. We want to be a voice for those that can't speak or have a voice. And we're also going to get a chance to talk about the Welsh Revival.
Beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. 1904, one of the most powerful moves of God that have ever hit the earth. Rick Joyner does a fabulous job writing a book called The World on Fire. The Welsh Revival and Its Lessons for Our Time. And absolutely amazing. I thought I knew a little bit about the Welsh Revival. I have found out that up until I read this book, I knew very little, close to none.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to share some of those things that occurred during the Welsh Revival and what we can learn in our generation as we are expecting an awesome, third great awakening. Mm-hmm. We're expecting a move of God.
Wow.
To visit us and to change our nation and our world.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. We need God, and it's not just for the sake of revival. I mean, the revival can't be the end of it. The revival is for Jesus. It's mm-hmm. to make Jesus famous. It's for Jesus to be glorified. That's what we want. We want Jesus to be glorified. And if God is going to use revival to do that, then by all means, revival, whatever he wants to do. We just want to see the name of Jesus famous. We want to see as many people as possible come to know him and continue to make him known. So watch out for that, because it's going to be good as we try to discuss it and some of the interesting things that happened during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get straight to what's happening in Kenya. Christian Post is reporting, and this is so important, they're reporting that residents at basically, we're we're going to try to make this picture available for you on the torch. But these men walked into this house, and you can see in this picture where there's just stacks of bodies. Stacks of bodies. Huh. And the reports are there were 48, but it was called a dark and bloody Sunday for the residents of the coastal town of Pekatoni. In Kenya, and after witnesses say that a Somali Al-Qaeda-linked extremist group called Al-Shabaab left 48 people dead. The deaths were as a result of an hours-long door-to-door assault on the community.
Wow.
Where those who weren't Muslim or spoke Somali were killed. Now, as I understand it, many of the people in the city in Kenya, they were all gathered to watch the World Cup. I mean, I didn't realize how popular soccer was, or football, as it's said around the world. But apparently this is really huge sport, and people are watching it. I mean, everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're shutting down communities.
Mm-hmm.
But this was one community. They were all gathered in their homes watching. And these extremists, these radical Muslim extremists, they came to a house around 8 p.m. They asked in Swahili whether they were Muslims, and the lady testifies and says that no, my husband told them that we were Christians, and they shot him right in the chest. Right in the chest. And so, you know, they went door to door, and they killed 48 people. And you gotta understand that if you belong to Jesus, if you made Jesus Lord of your life, then the enemy hates you.
Mm-hmm.
He literally hates you. And we're seeing a persecution really around the globe that I don't remember seeing, maybe even in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Surely persecution has existed since, the days of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we read about it in the book of Acts. We read it all throughout our Bible. Certainly it has existed in Rome. I mean, we know about Nero and the horrific things that he would do. Nero in Rome would actually take Christians and he would hang them on crosses in his garden. He would drench them with oil, and then he would light them on fire so that he can look at his gardens at night well lit. This is the horrific nature of what the enemy would love to do to you. Just because you say the name of Jesus, you mm-hmm. bow allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we know about the persecution that's existed for many years, not just for Christians, but for the Jews. We have done a segment for you, and we're going to make sure that's related, called JJ, the Jews and Jews and Jesus, about Jews and Christians, and the persecution that both are facing. And part of being able to stand in these times is to know that you're under attack.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not under attack now, you may be under attack tomorrow. And if you're not being under attack today, understand that one of your brothers or sisters around the world is being attacked. We shared about in previous segments about the top 50 countries that is that are known for persecution, and North Korea tops number one. And for the first time, there was a Latin American country, to my recollection, that was actually listed. And normally these countries are in the Middle East or maybe in Asia or maybe the northern part of Africa. And for the first time, I think it was the 21st or the 29th company was Colombia. Hmm. That was a Latin American country that was listed as a country that's mm-hmm. known for persecution. Listen, we want to, as the church, rise up and pray. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. We know about the persecution that's occurring in China. We know that what's occurring in North Korea, in Iran, in Syria, in all these North African countries. Listen, we want to stand with them. We want to pray with them that their faith would be strengthened and they would continue to preach the gospel. It's interesting that China says that they're praying for us to be humbled.
Mm-hmm.
They're praying for us. Because, I mean, in all of our wealth and our prosperity here in the U.S. and in the West, it hasn't caused us to deepen our walk for God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing that, you know, we look at persecution at face value and we say, wow, that's a pretty horrible thing. But there's something about persecution that causes the church to grow. I mean, mm-hmm. when the book of Acts, they started to scatter. And when they scattered, the gospel and the kingdom continued to advance.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Paul says, hey, listen, don't worry about me up in here in jail. I mean, I wish that they were all like me except for these chains, but understand this. I'm in jail, but they are hearing the gospel. Understand this. This is what's happening. And so, it happens. It's occurring. But we pray that through it, that Jesus would be glorified and that those that are being tested, those that are being tried, will be able to stand firm. That's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You need to stand firm. And there's aggressive persecution where there's physical bodily harm that's being done to folks. But let me tell you, there is a subtle persecution that's happening across the nation in the United States in different workplaces where they make mm-hmm. you feel uncomfortable for being a Christian, where they try to make you uncomfortable for praying mm-hmm. At your own desk or whatever the case may be, or celebrating, standing firm during the Christmas holiday, and you say, no, it's Christmas. It's not the holiday season. It's not the holiday tree. It's the Christmas tree. It's you know, mm-hmm. we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. And so we want to encourage you, no matter what you face, understand that Jesus is always with you. He is on the inside of you. If you've made him the Lord of your life, and he will give you what words to say, he will give you grace to endure, and he will help you no matter what you face. More when we come right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Abortion laws are on the forefront, but what should we do about adoption laws? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
With all the abortion issues coming back into the courts, is now the time to press our state representatives to create new adoption laws to simplify that process?
No doubt about it. I think that is, number one, it's a necessary aspect of the pro-life cause, and that is to support the easy adoption of children that need homes. And that's the alternative that we want to make available. So the answer, yes, Jim, is it's time to go to your state legislature. That's exactly correct. And press for adoption laws that make it easy for parents to adopt children and to give these children a home. And that is a part of the overall pro-life perspective that we need to be advocating. And I'm actually quite encouraged that we're getting laws moving in the right direction.
The ACLJ is committed to the sanctity of human life. Learn more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of hearing for the hearing impaired and their families by testing, fitting, and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Listen to this.
This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about what's happening around the world in terms of persecution and how we can pray for the persecuted church, but also in what's happening around the world. We're going to get right to what's happening in Brazil. Of course, they are hosting the World Cup this year. They're expected 500,000 people have come to Brazil to watch these World Cups, these soccer games. And along with, you know, coming in to see some soccer games, some of these tourists that are coming in are coming to buy and purchase women and children that are being exploited as sex slaves, human trafficking. Sometimes the word doesn't do it that justice because people don't know what human trafficking is, but part of it is involves women and children, 1 million of them around the world, that are being sold as sex slaves. In Brazil alone, they say 40,000 children a year. 40,000.
Wow.
And adolescents, for children and adolescents, are being used and abused this way. And you think about it, I mean, this is something of just horrific nature that's occurring. And as the church, I mean, we not only need to be informed, but we need to strategically pray. Pray not only for these children, pray that these traffickers get saved, but pray that this completely stops. And so, you know, CBN is sharing about a documentary that Operation Blessing has put together to educate the people of Brazil about what is happening, how they can basically share about, you know, what's occurring right in front of them during the World Cup. And so they've made this documentary. They're taking it around 12 of the host cities that where these games are being played. And I want you to listen. I want you to watch what CBN is reporting about this.
World Cup soccer in Brazil isn't all just fun and games. One of the top issues is what's happening off the field, sex trafficking. There's concern sex tourists will abuse thousands of young people and children literally in the shadows of stadiums. But Operation Blessing is on the scene in Brazil working to fight this abuse with a new documentary.
The World Cup in Brazil is one of the biggest sporting events in the world, attracting more than 500,000 fans. Unfortunately, it is also a huge magnet for sex traffickers, who often target vulnerable children.
I used to seek out girls from out of state, good-looking girls. I would look at their financial situation through pictures and comments online. Then I would talk to them and offer them a better life.
CBN's Operation Blessing is helping fight trafficking through its documentary called One Real, The Other Side of the Coin. The film cites a government report which states some 40,000 children and adolescents disappear in Brazil every year. 15% of those cases go unsolved.
We're trying to raise the stigma against this and educate the people coming in for the World Cup that this isn't just a service you can buy without consequences, that these are children trapped in a hell.
The film is translated into several languages, and Operation Blessing volunteers are traveling cross-country on a special bus, showing it in all 12 World Cup match cities. Operation Blessing is also delivering food and bags of hope to trafficking victims on the streets of Brazil.
And Operation Blessing is also partnering with shelters to provide a safe place for trafficking victims.
Now, we shared in a previous segment at a time about also their plan also is to develop and put together 12 houses of prayer, and their goal is to rescue 1,000 women and children from human trafficking. Mm-hmm. And so we want to join them right now. Right now, Lord, we just pray for those 1,000 women and children to be saved and rescued, and we just pray that this will continue all across Brazil and really mm-hmm. around the world. And we want to continue to encourage you to support ministries and organizations that are, one, keeping this before you, like VFN TV, as well as Exodus Cry, Operation Underground Railroad. These are organizations and ministries that are on the forefront of not just educating, they're making documentary movies, but they're also, like Operation Underground, they're actually doing extractions. They're going to these countries. These are former FBI, CIAs, Navy SEALs, Green Beret soldiers that are uh-huh. going into these cities and mm-hmm. places and brothels, and they're extracting mm-hmm. The women and children to safety. And they've had several reports about that. And we hear about, you know, human trafficking and sex trafficking, and we think that instantly that must be happening in poorer nations around the world. Maybe that's happening in Cambodia or in Asia. We understand that's happening in Brazil. Maybe in Europe, but maybe we're not focused or understand that this is happening in the United States as well, and it's something that's really on the rise. Mm-hmm. And I came across Holly Smith. Holly Smith wrote a book called "Walking Prey: How America's Youth Are Vulnerable to Sex Slavery." She writes this book not out of research only, but out of personal experience. She herself was actually sex trafficked here in the United States in New Jersey. And from her blog, I'm going to read to you a little bit of her bio, and so you can understand how this is something that's affecting us right here in the United States. She says, "My name is Holly Smith, and I'm a survivor of child sex trafficking." She says, "When I was 14 years old, I was lured into running away from home with a man I had met at a shopping mall in Atlantic County, New Jersey. After exchanging some numbers, this man called at night while my unknowing parents watched television in the living room." And how often is a situation like that happening today? Wow. "We talked more than once, and convincing me to run away with him was not an overnight accomplishment. He took his time. He got to know me. He analyzed my troubles and asked me my dreams. I wanted to be a songwriter. I wanted to meet Julia Roberts. I wanted to see Jim Morrison's grave in Paris and France. The year was 1992. And so this man is able to just listen mm-hmm. to this young girl's desires, her troubles, the things that's bothering her. And listen, if you're at 14, you're 15 years old, mm-hmm. you're a teenager. Things are mm-hmm. there are so many things are changing in your life. So many things are rapidly... You know, careful who you're speaking with and pouring your life out to. She continues to write and says, "I was severely depressed. And as the pressures of my 14-year-old world were boiled to the surface, I fled. I laced up my size 5 sneakers and I ran toward the opportunity, toward possibility, and toward freedom." So she thought. Mm-hmm. "In reality, I ran right into the inexorable clutches of a sex trafficking ring. Within hours of running away with a man who turned out to be a manipulative pimp trafficker, I was forced into prostitution in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I was later arrested by law enforcement and treated like a criminal, although I was eventually recognized as a victim. The specialized aftercare needed for a victim of sex trafficking did not exist, and the journey toward healing was a long and bumpy road. 20 years ago, there was no anti-trafficking laws in place. Wow. The pimp who raped me and lured me into into prostitution served only 365 days in jail. Two wow. additional traffickers were arrested. However, one woman posted bail and fled, and she's still considered a fugitive in the state of New Jersey. She says, I am now breaking my silence, and today she is an advocate for anti-trafficking. And she's beginning to share her story. She's invited to come to schools. Wow. She'll speak anywhere. and she wants to share with others, hey, listen, careful, careful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to put yourself in a situation mm-hmm. that you can be lured away, that you can be taken away. Mm-hmm. And although she was, she goes on to say she was only, you know, captured for 36 hours. In those 36 hours, she became a victim that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a clip of her sharing a little bit about her story. We want you to be able to just watch and see from her own words what has happened in her life. And this is coming from a Richmond, Virginia news, NBC 12. And we're going to share with this with you when we get back from the break. More to come.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Why is everybody trying to live so hard that they never do? It's like, you ain't got no life. What are you trying to do? Get a bigger TV or something? Come on, get out here with God. Do something for God. I mean, you don't even have to bungee jump no more. Just walk through a whole bunch of Pharisees and say, Jesus is Lord. It's better than bungee jumping. And then we'll load you in the basket and you can go on out. Walk through your city. Think about it. In Ephesus, there was no believers in Ephesus. One man named Paul comes into the city of Ephesus and begins to preach the gospel, and it becomes a hub for the kingdom of God. One man rocks an entire city because God was with him. He was a witness. What are you doing for God? They were waiting for the power company to come out. They were waiting for the creator of all power. So you're just walking around. I mean, you know what? It's like in a natural sense. You're like, man, you walk into a room and you flip the switch on, but it's like, you're out of habit. You're just... but nothing happens because you have no power. You can build a house. You can run wires in it. You can put receptacles in it. You can put fixtures in it. You can put television in it. You can put all kinds of tools in it. But guess what? If you have no power, it's still what it was before you ran the wiring. And the church today, we're doing all these different things, and it's like, yeah, I understand you got wires and understand you got receptacles and you got pews and you got buildings and you got corporations and you got all this kind of stuff. But do you have any power in that church?
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Torch, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torchlight, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this, including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared? So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before the break, we were talking about human trafficking, sex trafficking, in the case of Holly Smith, a young girl in New Jersey, in the United States, who, like in maybe any 14-year-old, 15-year-old girl, has all kind of things happening in her life, and for some reason she was... depressed, severely depressed, as she states, and that some man that she met at the mall began to take an interest in her,
mm-hmm.
calling her and trying to get her to open up and really finding out that her interests and what she likes and the things that are important to her. And through that, he was able to manipulate her. And this young girl became a victim. She mm-hmm. ran away from home, and for 36 hours, she was trafficked. And she was later arrested, and then they found out that she was indeed a victim. But we have her being interviewed by Richmond, Virginia News, NBC 12. And why don't you listen a little bit to her story and what happened.
Sex trafficking is not something that just happens abroad, and it certainly isn't something that only happens to other people's kids.
That's right. It is booming here in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And if you have a daughter or a son between the ages of 12 and 18, know that if you're not paying attention to them, the pimps could be, and it could happen in a place where they hang out all the time. Deborah Alfarone has what you need to know straight from a victim who's lived it.
This guy didn't come on strong. Like, he didn't call me and talk about sex or running away.
For more than half her life, Holly Austin Smith has held a secret.
Everything changed for me. My whole life changed after that.
Holly says at 14, she was vulnerable, depressed. It was more than teenage angst. It was at the mall she met a man who would change her life forever.
I just felt special that he was calling me out of the crowd and he was connecting with me.
They exchanged numbers and talked every other night for about 2 weeks.
What kind of, movie stars do I like? What kind of movies do I like? Where do I want to go? What do I like to do? And it was just a friendship. By the time he started pushing for me to run away, it sounded like a good idea.
He promised to take her to a dance club. He took her to a motel in Atlantic City.
There was a woman in the motel room. She was very, very pretty. And he kind of handed me over to her and said, get her ready.
They took her to the street and sold her body for money.
The two of them haggled on a price, and she told him to go and get a car and to pick me up directly and take me directly to the hotel room.
What followed was 36 hours of hell, a mortifying arrest, and a lifetime of suicide attempts and secrets.
When you're talking to our kids about this, you can't say, hey, human trafficking. You have to say what the real words are, and the real word is a pimp.
Tina Front is a pioneer.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Since 2008, her nonprofit, Courtney's House in D.C., has helped more than 500 local sex trafficking victims. She's part den mother, part activist, part cop.
They look like you did when you were a child. They look like your children.
And all fighter. Her goal? To open your eyes.
Because if you're not explaining it, a trafficker is explaining it to your child, and he's not telling the truth when he's explaining it.
After 17 years of secrets, Holly met Tina. You could say she saved her life.
It was 2009 when I met Tina Front. I didn't even know what happened to me. I thought I had chosen to become a prostitute. It wasn't until I learned about child sex trafficking that I understood how I was exploited and manipulated.
We really need to understand that it's all races, it's all colors, it's all backgrounds.
From nice areas and from bad, the target mostly girls aged 12 to 14, from a place we all visit.
They're all trafficked one place, too, and that's at the mall.
And that's why Tina makes it her life mission to go undercover and intervene. We can't say which malls, and we can't show you her operation. If you're wondering how Tina knows so much, she was trafficked too. Just like Holly, she ran away at 14 to her would-be pimp's home.
And there were four other girls there who were also under the age of 16. And so the next process is what every girl and boy goes through, and that would be the seasoning process. And that is when he had two men come in and rape me.
After a year of prostitution, then juvenile detention, like Holly, Tina had nowhere to turn. As she got stronger and slowly pulled herself from the life, she helped others do the same.
Pimps came to my door, banging on my door, trying to bust my windows out to find them, and there were no services for anybody.
Courtney's House was born in 2008, named for Tina's daughter, and ever since, she's given victims a voice.
Meeting somebody else who had such a similar story helped me to realize that I was a victim. And it helped me to feel empowered.
Tina Front urges parents to, number one, check their teen's phone. And also check Facebook. You should have their password because that's how traffickers communicate. She also says teens should never hang out without an adult.
at the mall. And I also want to let you know, Leslie, the good news, because it's such a sad, sad story, that Holly is actually happily married. She's a microbiologist. She lives in Richmond, Virginia, and she's working hard on writing a book about sex trafficking. And also she writes a column in the Washington Times Communities. This is great work.
That's Holly's story. And you can see how this is happening in America. Just that simple, just that quick. You know, a young lady can be taken from her, you know, right from the mall, you know, spoken to, lured away, and then called. And the thing about it, parents had no idea. She was on the phone. Parents were watching TV. This is according to what she says, her own testimony. And this happened over a period of time, weeks, that they were having these, this conversation. And so eventually the girl took off and ran away, didn't realize that all that glitters is not gold. And she just wound up being taken and became a victim. Fortunately for her, she was quickly rescued. And again, she wrote a book called A Walking Prey, How America's Youth Are Vulnerable to Sex Slavery. And we're sharing this with you so, one, you can be informed. But really, there's always three things that you can always do. The first thing, the most chief thing, is for you to pray. Listen, we as the church, we need to pray. God is asking us. Will we partner with him, right, to end sex slavery and what's happening? So we can pray for the victims, pray for the traffickers, that they themselves would get saved. You want to pray that these rings and these networks would be exposed, and also pray that we can have as many extractions, as many of these women and children to be pulled out of these places and saved, and that they can get their lives back together, restored, and ultimately that they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they can receive the spiritual healing and the emotional healing that they so desperately need. So our prayers are with them. We want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and go to the links, and you'll find more resources there. You can get involved. Second thing you can do is you can always give. You give of your time, of course, but give of your resources. It takes finances to extract some of these folks, you know, out. It takes, you know, resources to get the word out, support organizations like Exodus Cry or
Underground Railroad.
Underground Railroad, Operation Underground Railroad. And, of course, VFN-TV, those that are educating and informing and keeping this conversation on the forefront. Believe me, there are a lot of people that wish this conversation was not being said. There is a ton of money that's being made in human trafficking. They sell drugs once, and that's it. And what drug dealers have noticed, that human trafficking is more profitable to them than selling drugs, because they can sell the same person, as horrific and horrible as that is, over and over again, and they make more of a profit. And so we need to deal with this in prayer. And then the last thing is, maybe God's calling you to get involved in some way personally yourself. You know, if the Lord is leading you to do that, by all means, respond to the Lord and get involved. Do what God is calling you to do. But I think together, together, we can form a network of prayer that will say no to human trafficking, not only in this country, but in all the countries of the world. Well, you know, Steve, we've been talking a little bit about the Welsh revival and what has occurred, you know, back in 1904. And I had the opportunity to come across a book about the Welsh revival. It came kind of to me, if you will. I wasn't really looking for it. And I was pleasantly surprised. I don't have much time to do extra reading these days, but I don't know how I've been able to pour into this. Every waking second, I may have a little open spot I've been reading into it. And the book is called The World on Fire, The Welsh Revival and Its Lessons for Our Time. And it was written by Rick Joyner. And if you've never read any books that Rick Joyner writes, you're missing a lot. He is an excellent author. I enjoy his books, his perspective as the Lord is, you know, leads him. And he does a great job documenting a lot of church history, actually world history too. And I've thoroughly enjoyed the book, and I haven't, in all honesty, completed the entire book yet. But we're going to talk and discuss a little bit about some of the things that I have learned and what we've read in this book that we can really, really benefit. The Welsh Revival basically occurred in 1904, started actually before the Azusa Street Revival happened in 1906. And one of the most famous evangelists that that came out of the Welsh revival was Evan Roberts. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that there were many other revivalists and evangelists during that time, but Evan Roberts was the one that was the most well-known, although he tried to do everything in his power not to be known. This was a very humble man. He was 26 years old, used powerfully by God. He worked as a coal miner, and God, you know, symbolically took him out of the dark pits of the coal mine, just as Wales was in the dark, you know, place in their existence, and brought an entire nation, and eventually the world, was used mightily in an awesome outpouring. My understanding is that the leaders of both of those talks, Evan Roberts and William Seymour, actually communicated through letters regarding these moves. And my understanding is that people that went to the Azusa Street revival also visited Wales, and they said that, you know, both works benefited from each other. Mm-hmm. And they were happening on opposite ends of the world. And amazing. I mean, amazing, amazing stuff. It says, Rick writes that the young workers knew that the it was noised abroad that he was in the house, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And he continues to write that the young workers knew that the Holy Spirit came to testify of Jesus, and if an evangelist or the evangelistic party became the center of the attraction, then the Holy Spirit would depart. And Evan Roberts knew that he was popular, and he dreaded being in the public publicity, because he felt that it detracted from the Lord, any kind of praise for the Lord. Many times he withdrew himself from meetings where people were coming to see him. Mm. Oftentimes, if you went to minister to a place, he wouldn't even advertise, just the last couple days, just before he was to arrive, to avoid any kind of hoopla. And even though he would arrive, hundreds of thousands of people would find out and you know, go there. It says the meetings were just amazing. He said he would agonize when folks would try to make it about him. In fact, he would say, you know, stop it, the Holy Spirit's gonna depart. He would leave. I mean, this man did not want to steal any kind of glory from the Lord. Wow. It says even though Evan Roberts became the most publicized preacher of the world at that time, he repeatedly refused interviews. He didn't want to take any kind of interviews, you know, in the newspapers and those type of things. He refused to have any pictures taken of him except from with his family. He did not want to, you know, bring any attention to himself. And he even refused to have his, any kind of books or anything publicized. So many people know about this Welsh revival, and we're finding out it's because he didn't want to be, you know, known like that. My understanding, that's the same thing that occurred with Leonard Ravenhill. A lot of people know about A.W. Tozer and the deep and the powerful work and some of the books that he has written. Mm-hmm. And he was more well-known, but my understanding is that Leonard Ravenhill was just as, you know, ministry was just as impactful during that time, but Leonard Ravenhill just didn't feel like he needed to do the certain things like that, and the Lord was just leading him in a different way. But when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about some of the characteristics of this revival, some of the things that they have learned, some of the things that occurred, prayer meetings that affected the entire, not just city, but the entire nation. They would come to a revival meeting only to find out that it just developed into a prayer meeting where people would take over just the entire service and just begin to pray. They've learned so many valuable lessons. And we're going to find out some of the things and maybe some of the reasons why God was able to entrust such a powerful move of God to a young 26-year-old. More when we get back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search
in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can, while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world, television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land, so obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices. It just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order, and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
The producer of VFN Radio program. Amazing man that handles pressure almost good.
Almost.
But much better than, remember?
Oh, yeah.
There was a day.
Me too.
There was a day.
We just thought that was pressure.
I don't know what that was.
What time does Star Trek come on?
I gotta hurry.
Right?
Yeah, for real.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before the break, we were talking about the Welsh revival that occurred during the 1904 and lasted for a couple some time, and how God used Evan Roberts during that revival. Absolutely amazing God. It was wonderful. But there were some lessons that we can learn, and Rick Joyner wrote a book really encouraging about a world on fire, about the Welsh revival, and some of the lessons that we can learn today from it. And one of the things that we find out during this revival is that they learned when to speak and not to speak. Mm. They said being led by the Spirit requires knowing when not to speak just as much as when to speak. And Evan Roberts was a wonderful demonstration of the sensitivity to the Lord. As stated, sometimes during a meeting, they would sit among the people without saying a word. Visitors from different parts of the world were astonished as they observed him letting the course, you know, and he just goes on to say that F.B. Meyer, you know, a Christian leader at the time, upon watching, you know, what was happening in the meetings, he explained about Evan Roberts that he would not go in front of the divine spirit, but is willing to stand aside and remain in the background unless he is perfectly sure that the Spirit of God is moving him. Then he added, it is a profound lesson for us all. The one who knows when not to speak will speak with more authority when he does speak. And one of the things and reasons why God was able to use Evan Roberts, because it is said of Evan Roberts that the Welsh Revival didn't introduce any new doctrine and that he wasn't even really a great speaker. But the reason why Evan Roberts was able to be used, according to what Rick Joyner writes, is that he understood how to yield to the Holy Spirit. He understood that it was the Holy Spirit that was doing this revival, not him. Mm. He understood that he needed to obey everything that the Holy Spirit is telling him to do and telling him not to do. And that's why he was entrusted. In fact, it says Christian leaders who came from the ends of the earth stood in awe and bowed in adoration to God as they witnessed the revival. General William Booth from the Salvation Army, mm-hmm. G. Campbell Morgan, and others, these were renowned men of God. They marveled, they says, at this great visitation. And in most cases, these men, when they came to visit the revival, they only prayed or maybe even said a few words. Sometimes they sat quietly in the meetings as young people and even children prayed and sang and testified in the Spirit. And the men of God who came all quickly recognized that this was not a revival that came through great preachers or great preaching, but this was a supernatural work altogether, mm-hmm. apart from either. And to their credit, most of these men quickly understood that their very personalities would actually hinder the meetings, and they yielded to the Holy Spirit and just kind of held back. And that's, I thought, wow, that was pretty interesting. You know, General Booth was the set leader of the Great Salvation Army. Awesome, awesome work of God that mm-hmm. even went all over the world. But they all realized, not just Evan Roberts, that this is not about a good message. Mm-hmm. This is not about preaching real good. Mm-hmm. This is about the Holy Spirit. And you're going to get out the way. Because mm-hmm. when God shows up, he shows up. He is large and in charge. And he doesn't need us. Mm-hmm. He really, really doesn't need us. He has everything under control. And one of the things that Rick Joyner writes, that in the 90s, there was a big movement for children, for the church and for parents to really start helping the youth and the children being equipped in ministry, giving them a vision to be used at an early age. We saw some of that happening at the Brownsville Revival. I mean, the children's church, I mean, it was amazing. They had their own worship team. They had their own prayer team. They had their own camera team. I mean, there was no distinction where the children's church was operating in the same level of maybe where the adults were meeting. Mm-hmm. And they were praying for faith, and they were praying for things like, you know, straighten my teeth now. I don't even so I don't have to get any kind of braces on my teeth.
Wow. There's no baby Holy Spirit.
This is true.
The same Spirit.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing even children today receive all sorts of prophetic revelations and dreams. They're being used in prayer in our midst. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing to see the Holy Spirit work through a child, because they just step out in bold faith and just actually do what God is showing them to do. But he says that although this movement was happening in the 90s where the parents were equipping the children, this was not the case in 1904 during the Welsh Revival. It was indeed the children that were equipping the parents. That the children were being used at an awesome, awesome, awesome way, and they would be teaching the children how, teaching the parents how to minister. Okay?
Wow.
Evan Roberts was only himself 26 years of age when the revival broke out, and his sister, Mary, who was such an important part of the work, she was only 16 years old.
Mm.
16. Their brother, Dan, and Mary's future husband, Sidney Evans, were both in their 20s. These are the leaders of the Welsh revival. And the Singing Sisters, there was a group called the Singing Sisters, and they traveled just singing in different parts of the country. Mm. They were greatly used. They were between the ages of 18 and 22.
Hmm.
Thousands of young people were converted and immediately sent throughout the land testifying to the glory of God. And little children had their own prayer meetings and witnessed boldly even to the most hardest of sinners. You got to understand that this move of God was just powerful. It touched the children. And in fact, we have seen that in this coming outpouring, this wave that God's going to do here, you know, that we're believing for to visit us, that it's going to be young people. They're going to be used. I had a vision where this young girl, maybe about 15, 16 years old, and I've shared this before, and she is coming up, and she shares a little bit out of her abiding time. She takes her journal out, and she just shares a little bit and just reads, and well, it wasn't no more than 5 minutes. And then she begins to pray, and I'm watching this. It actually could have been, this was a dream, actually. This was a dream. I'm watching this in the dream, and she begins to start praying for people. And I go, oh, that's cute. You know, I'm thinking in my dream, oh, that's nice. So she's praying, and I said, this is really good. And then all of a sudden, she gets, you know, down the line, and she's, you know, four or five, and she's in this big arena. Looks like a auditorium, if you will, and it was dark, you know. But I see her, people are standing up, and she's praying, five or six people, and she gets maybe to the sixth person, and she's just praying normal, laying her hands on the head. And all of a sudden, I see the wave of the Holy Spirit just mow this whole row all the way back. And I panned all the way to the back of the room, and I saw, oh, my goodness, God, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then I heard two men talking behind a booth, and they said, this is how we're going to train them. This is how it's going to be. They're going to pray. They're going to spend time with God, and the Holy Spirit is going to do all the work. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, there's a great outpouring coming. And we're going to continue this conversation in another program. Join us. But we're talking about the Welsh revival, the powerful move of God, and everything that occurred in 1904. There was a connection in 1906 with the Azusa Street Revival. And there's lessons to learn. Listen, we want the Holy Spirit to move and have His way. And we want a third great awakening. We're believing for a move of God. Join us in the next program. You don't want to miss it. We're going to be talking about the Welsh revival. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Isn't it so cool, all of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it. When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com. Go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFN TV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.